Monday, March 14th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, the Christian Post has covered an interesting story out of Virginia. We all remember back in 2019 when then-Governor Ralph Northam garnered national outrage when he appeared to endorse infanticide during an interview with News Talk Radio WTOP. When discussing third trimester abortions, Northam gave WTOP the hypothetical example of a mother giving birth to a child with severe deformities or is not being viable. If the mother is in labor, I can tell you exactly what would happen. The infant would be delivered, the infant would be kept comfortable, Northam said at the time, and then the mother and the doctor could decide if the baby would live or die. Unbelievably, Harry, the Democrat lawmakers in Virginia have now defeated a bill that, if enacted, would have required medical professionals to provide care for babies who survive abortion procedures and would have made failing to do so a felony.
So now Governor Northam has been defeated, but the cause of infanticide, or at least the support of infanticide, continues in the state of Virginia through other elected officials who on this committee garnered an 11-4 majority to side rail this bill that is consistent with a federal bill that was passed by George W. Bush, a bill that protected the lives of children who survived the abortion attempt, and the federal bill requires their proper medical care. What this bill adds in the state of Virginia is criminal responsibility if you do not provide the medical care. The church's mission is narrow, it makes disciples, but its impact is comprehensive because the message is comprehensive as we teach people the Word of God with a gospel-saturated life, whereby Christians then become salt of the earth and a light to the world. That's what's happening in a number of situations in our society. As the church does its job, the Christians engage the culture, but in progressive Christianity, the church accommodates the culture in order to be accepted by the culture. The result of the sanity of a Christian world and life view that comes into the public square begins to confront this progressive movement, which is what I call the culture of insanity, the culture of absurdity, the culture of immorality, and the culture of lethality, and all four of those are interdependent upon each other. The sexual revolution, which demands the option of killing the unwanted, the inconvenient, or the imperfect child, and thus has its own progressive secular sacrament of abortion at all cost and at any time, is now being defended in the state of Virginia as the rationality that if your baby is delivered alive, then the baby ought to receive medical care for its continued life. But look at the insanity that we now have, Tom, out of lethality. So here is a team of medical personnel who are attempting to assassinate the child in the womb. And then they fail in their assassination attempt. And the child is then born alive. Well, now this bill would say, you got to have another team that's ready to respond to that. The medical assassination team, they failed. And now here is the child in the providence of God. Now there's the sanity of trying to help the child live. But the state of Virginia, these elected officials push back and say, no, that child doesn't deserve to live. That life is not sacred because that life is imperfect, or because that life is unwanted, or because that life is inconvenient, and therefore the child can be left to die. By the way, we'll make it comfortable while it's dying. Active euthanasia is also the product of what you omit as well as what you submit. You submit the child to lethal action, or you've put the child to death. You withhold what the child needs to live, then you have put the child to death by your omission. just as much as you would have by your commission. And what this bill is saying, no, we need sanity here. We need the sanity of affirming life. But look at the insanity of an operation room with a team of medical personnel who are being paid to assassinate the unwanted, possibly imperfect or inconvenient child. And over here is a team that would be called upon to protect the life of the child. Well, the culture of death says, we do not want that team in there. No, if we fail to kill the child in the womb and the child is born alive, then we'll find a way to kill the child. And by the way, we'll make sure it's comfortable while it's dying. But we're going to take that child's life. Why? Because it's not wanted. Because it may be inconvenient. Because it may be imperfect. If this was happening in a veterinarian clinic, you would have protest outside, but it's happening in a neonatal unit, and now the protest is, how dare you save the life of that child when what we want to do is kill it?
Democrat Senator Jennifer McClellan of Richmond celebrated the result, declaring that, quote, Virginia will remain a safe haven for reproductive health.
Well, let me tell you what Virginia is not. It's not a safe haven for babies. It's not a safe haven in the womb, and it's not a safe place in a neonatal unit. If the child thwarts the genocidal assault to kill it in the womb and is born alive, now the death culture surrounds the moment and puts the child to death. Now, Tom, let me go back to my language. Insanity. And now by putting this child to death, we have an elected official celebrating reproductive health. Here is a reproduction. Here is a child. Where is the health of the child? The health of the child is being destroyed. The child is being put to death. How is that reproductive health? And why should the child be put to death? You made the attempt to kill it. You failed. And now the child lives. What are you doing for others by putting the child to death except getting rid of what you don't want or what is inconvenient? Let me assure you, that death culture will not stop in the neonatal unit. That death culture will extend throughout the culture, and there will become other people in society that are unwanted, that are inconvenient, or that are imperfect by our standards. And then the culture of death will go to work. Go read the manifesto of Hitler in the Third Reich about what you do with the unwanted, the inconvenient, and how entire ethnies were put into that category. Oh, we would never do that. My goodness, we have a heart hard enough to destroy the life of a baby that's looking up at you, and we're willing to say, no, we're going to make sure that you die so that we don't have to put up with you. Tom, one of the things that's obvious here is the hardness of the heart unless the grace of God intervenes. I am all for the sanity of a culture of life, and I am grateful for those who bring it. But I am reminded that the culture of insanity, the culture of absurdity, the culture of death, lethality, and the culture of immorality is there because of our heart. I praise God for public policies that preserve sanity in life. The reality is the culture of death is always right around the corner unless the grace of God gets hold of our heart. We need God's common grace to restrain the hearts of men in society, and we need God's redeeming grace to transform the hearts of men to create a culture of life instead of the insanity of the culture of death. As one of my mentors always said to me time and time again, and it's never left me, the heart of the problem is the problem with our heart. May God send His grace throughout our society to restrain our sin, and may the church proclaim the gospel of grace to transform the hearts of men and women from rebellion against God to embracing lives that live to the glory of God and with the joy of life that comes when we glorify God and enjoy Him forever.
As we close out for today, let me remind you, if you haven't done so already, why not subscribe to Today in Perspective? On your smartphone or your tablet, go to your podcast icon. Type in Today in Perspective with Harry Reeder. Each and every weekday will automatically download to your device a new edition of Today in Perspective, a great way to stay in touch. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Tuesday. as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.